the Antichrist on earth right now? If so, how can we identify him?
Will Christians be deceived by the great imposter, the Antichrist?
The mind of Christians is almost incapable of understanding the terror of tyranny under a one-world government headed by the Antichrist.
Will our nation become a Marxist nation?
This is Bob Boy.
And Jerry Boy.
This is Issues in Education. Pastor John Hagee is a senior pastor at Cornerstone Church in San Antonio. In August 2015, Pastor Hagee spoke at the End Times Prophecy Conference called Victory Conference.
Get ready! The Antichrist is coming to produce a one-world government, a one-world religion, and a one-world currency. Secular humanists in Washington and in Europe are destroying civilization. God's not in heaven wringing his hands. He's in heaven in total control. Satan is a defeated foe. You have authority by the word, by the blood, by the name of Jesus Christ. We are the church triumphant. Act like it. The enemy cannot defeat us. Bless his glorious name. The rider on the white horse in Revelation 6 is the great deceiver. The rider on the right horse in Revelation 19 is the great deliverer. Jesus is his name. Why is the devil's guy on a white horse? Because the devil has been mocking Jesus Christ since Genesis 1 and 1. He's been emulating the things of God from the very beginning. He is the Antichrist, the chief son of Satan. He's going to come promising world peace, and instead, he's going to bathe the world in blood. There will be a global economic crisis. The Antichrist will come to power on the wings of an economic crisis around the world. Let one small nation in Europe go bankrupt, and the European Union does not bail them out. The panic will spread. There will be a global economic crisis. World leaders will then demand an economic Caesar, and some of them already are. An all-powerful man who will produce a one-world currency, a one-world government. China right now is using their wealth as a weapon of war. We are the person they are attacking. Winston Churchill rallied the British people, and he said, "You ask what is our aim? Victory. For without victory, there is no survival." This nation is not invincible. If we do not strengthen our moral position, this nation will go down because we lack the moral courage to stand against the wickedness of our generation. The Antichrist will be the master of deception. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "Let no man deceive you." Jesus said on another occasion in John 5:43, "I have come to you in my Father's name, and you have not accepted me. But if someone else comes to you in his own name, you will receive him." Jesus was talking about the Antichrist in that verse of Scripture. In America, we have become accustomed to deception. We've become so accustomed to it, we don't know what the truth sounds like. That's a fact. Americans have little confidence in Congress. Who believes a politician when he speaks? They've mastered the art of almost saying something. 1 John 4:3 says, "The spirit of the Antichrist is in the world." Let me tell you that if it was in the world 2,000 years ago, it's running the world virtually right now. Satanism and the occult. Colleges and universities. You can get college credit now for witchcraft in the United States of America. Our military has embraced Satanism. A meditation garden is available at the U.S. Air Force Academy. It's provided for future officers of the U.S. Air Force. The spiritual leaders of this meditation garden are witches. Think about that. The Bible says all nations that forget God, said with me, are turned into hell. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Think about that. Think about that.
Pastor Hagee said America has been gravely deceived by globalists and their puppets in the media, deceiving the American people to be submissive, just like the Jews who were naively believing that the Nazis would create peace and prosperity by giving them jobs. All they needed to do was just get on the trains to the gas chambers.
The great deceiver, the Antichrist, depends on the American people, the sheeple. allowing his deceit to go unchallenged. Our nation is so deceived, we've lost all sense of what is right and what is wrong. For decades, our schools abandon absolute values. Children grow up believing there's no right and no evil and no God, and they've become secular atheists.
So we are a morally confused, lost generation, deceived and open for receiving the Antichrist.
Pastor Charles Crismar is president of Save America. He was a trial lawyer for 20 years. He was a pastor for 37 years. Chuck Crismar hosts a daily radio program called Viewpoint. Chuck Crismar is the author of Antichrist, How to Identify the Coming Imposter.
In Daniel chapter 7, it speaks about a little horn.
The fourth beast had 10 horns, and out of these came this little horn. Who is the little horn?
Well, the little horn is this counterfeit Christ figure, the imposter. And that's going to be Satan's man, the counterfeit Christ, the imposter. The prophet Daniel said he gains the kingdom by flattery, and the prophet Daniel says through the pursuit of peace, he destroys many. Through the pursuit of peace, you say, how could that possibly be? Peace destroying? Exactly. Going back about 25 years into the United Nations, in their own documents, they have clearly set forth that there will be a time when they will have to eliminate from the earth people who will stand against the global government. Now, who are those people going to be? They're going to be true followers of Jesus Christ. Not just any people. Not just any people that say, Lord, Lord. Not just any people that go to church. A car can go to church, but it doesn't make him a Christian. But those who are true followers of Jesus Christ, love him with a whole heart, and owe their total allegiance to him, they will be deemed to be the ultimate enemies of global peace. Together with Orthodox Jews, many Orthodox Jews who refuse to capitulate. Well, look what's happening. The persecution level is rising dramatically. China, the report came out that the pastors in China are running for their lives, going into hiding. Why? Because China has its own version of a global government, a global Chinese government. That's what we're fighting here. But what we don't realize here in this country is there's something even more insidious than that, and that is the one world Western empire that's rising. The resurrecting Roman Empire ultimately will seek to rule the world as an expression of Satan's final rulership on the planet.
Revelation 13, it says there was a beast that came out of the sea, and then the dragon gave him power, and then it talks about a second beast that also gave him power, and then I'm wondering about the image of the beast and then the false prophet. Could you explain all that?
All right. The global government beast, that's the beast empire, and then you have the representative, the titular representative of that, which is also referred to as the beast. That's the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, the son of perdition. And then he has a false prophet, someone who religiously comes alongside to validate what he's doing on a religious basis, so that the people then will be assured, they will be convinced that this is the real deal. This truly is Messiah.
But they worship the beast and they worship the dragon. So is the dragon the devil and he gives power to the beast?
Yes. The devil is referred to as a dragon a number of times in the scripture. About 10 years ago, Time magazine came out with a cover story, 10 Ideas That Are Changing the World. Number 7 of those ideas was called Synthetic Authenticity. Synthetic Authenticity. These Harvard business gurus encouraging not only the business world, but everybody else to present that which is false as real. They say, don't present the real because that puts a target on your back. Just present it as a synthetic truth.
Yeah, it's like virtual reality.
Exactly. Virtual reality. That same principle has found its way throughout the entire evangelical church in America.
Oh, you're
boy,
not kidding.
That's for sure.
Synthetic authenticity. And if you think that isn't deceptive, you know, I believe this is the reason the Lord called me to leave the practice of law at the height of my career 27 years ago as a trial lawyer, and to use all of that training to plead the ultimate cause of a lifetime to a jury of my peers, the church in America first. People thought that was so strange. But all the warnings of Scripture are to the church, all of them. We're living in a time that is so shockingly deceptive and becoming more so. And God has given me a passion to plead the ultimate cause of a lifetime for history's final hour.
Boy, that's powerful, Chuck. I'm thinking about how God hates this synthetic authenticity. I mean, that's an oxymoron. It's like self-contradictory sentence.
Exactly.
God hates it because it's pretense. It's a fake. It's a masquerade. It's like Phariseeism. God wants people to be red hot for Jesus, fully committed like Jesus was for us to go to the cross.
Problem is that there's a will among the majority of the people to accept the false as real. Now, that may sound strange, but I'll tell you why. We're willing to sell our souls, in the spiritual sense, for that which costs us little. But Jesus said, unless you're willing to take up your cross and follow me to the total, you can't even be my disciple. That whole concept of discipleship has been thrown out in our generation. In fact, over the past 40 years, I've watched it happen. There is very little genuine discipleship of the real truth of the gospel,
right,
to live it out in reality.
Sometimes I'll watch some Christian TV and they talk about your best life now. If this is your best life now, then this is hell.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's all relative,
right.
Isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
And they never talk about suffering. It says if you don't suffer for Christ, you're not going to reign with Christ. There's so much about suffering. Jesus suffered. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And so if we pursue holiness, we're going to suffer. We have to die to all our little fleshly desires, which are far more than we have any idea.
Well, Jesus made it very clear, didn't he? He said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Why do you think that you should be any different than your Lord? But in America, somehow, we're different. Oh, that wouldn't happen to us because we're Americans. Oh, really? It's already happening.
Yeah, so I think about how Jesus said that Satan desired to sift Peter as wheat. In other words, Satan wanted to destroy Peter's faith like he did Judas. And yet Jesus prayed for Peter's faith not to fail. So it was possible even Peter could have fallen if Jesus hadn't prayed for him. God is able to keep us from falling if we truly want to be kept, as Jude writes, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. So Jude wouldn't have given us such words if it wasn't possible for us to fall away.
Exactly right. But that's my favorite benediction. One of the reasons it's my favorite is my father was a pastor for 50 years, and I can still hear him, even though he's long gone, declaring that at the end of a worship service, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. And that's what we have to be security in.
Yes, it really is, and it is a warning. And what is this new seeker-friendly church that's being presented? It's bland without the blood. It's not about the crucified Christ, because the gospel is sent to save the sinner from his sins. It's a false gospel, and I love the way you said it. It's fruit without root, righteousness without repentance, hope, healing, happiness without holiness, passion without purity, purity's missing, ritual without relationship.
That is absolutely true. The deceiver has done a sleight of hand on us, and we didn't even realize it. During the church growth movement, everything shifted away from genuine discipleship to building churches. Jesus said, I'll build my church. You make disciples. But we were told at that time, no, we're going to build churches and let Jesus make disciples. And then we're totally undiscipled and have all these mega churches. Then, in the 1990s, came the seeker-sensitive movement, Jerry, that you were talking about. The seeker-sensitive movement was the church growth movement on steroids. And there was a virtual total abandonment of the concept of truly discipling the saints, trying to seduce unbelievers to come in, and whatever we had to do to seduce them, compromising the truth, playing games with them, whatever we had to do, that was the seeker-sensitive movement. Now, as we're approaching the second coming of Christ, the last 10 years, that has now gone into what is called the emerging church movement. It is a composite of the seeker-sensitive movement, the church growth movement, but casting away virtually all genuine truth and discipleship, elevating feelings as the final arbiter of truth. That's where we are today. Feelings have replaced the faith once delivered to the saints.
Microsoft, on March 26, 2020, filed a patent application bearing the number 60606 to establish a virtual digital currency. Could this be the chip needed for people to buy or sell? Because if you can't buy or sell, you can't buy food. You can't go to a hospital. You can't pay for your utilities, your rent, buy a house or car. So this mark could mean starvation. If you can't buy or sell without the mark of the beast, you could be executed as a traitor.
Before this moment in time, it was technologically impossible to fulfill the prophecy of the mark of the beast. And then all of a sudden, right as the COVID issue is sweeping across the world, Bill Gates, who has been doing everything he could, dedicating his billions to global vaccination, now files a patent application with the U.S. Patent Office, March 26, 2020, for the express purpose of now linking vaccinations with nano expression that will enable a cashless society. In fact, it will totally replace all cash, so that all buying and selling, all transactions must pass through this nano dot expression that is inserted in your body.
Okay, so is this leading up to the mark? Because the beast says, get a mark in the right hand or forehead, and no man can buy or sell except he has the mark or the name of the beast or the right number of his name.
Yes, I do believe that is true. So people ask Joe Biden, are you going to mandate the vaccine? And he said, no, I don't think it'll be necessary for the government to mandate a vaccine, because all the businesses and every other enterprise in the country will mandate it. So how does that work? But suppose you're a teacher. Your school system says you can't teach unless you have the vaccine. The business you work at, whether it's a bank, grocery store, wherever it is, you can't work unless you have the vaccine. But suppose you're a nurse or a doctor. Already they're facing that. Imagine a whole country now and the whole world being told you can't work. You can't go in the store unless you can prove you have the vaccine. A former candidate for the Democratic presidency this last year came out with the idea, you know, the way to solve that is just have one of these QR spots, and you get one of those when you get the vaccine, and all you have to do is show that. You see how close we are?
Yeah. Yeah, so this small mark just under your skin, it'd be like a barcode or tattoo to let authorities know you've been immunized, you've been vaccinated. Mexico, Russia, Switzerland, Venezuela, Colombia have all embedded subdermal chips into their government staff to stop kidnapping. But if you take this mark of the beast, just so you can buy food, so you don't starve.
In Revelation chapter 14, he very clearly says, you take the mark, it's an act of worship, and you have already expressed your final allegiance to Satan and his dominion. That is indeed a declaration that you have submitted to his authority rather than Christ as king. Therefore, you have signed your warrant that you will suffer the same penalty that he will in the lake of fire.
That's pretty powerful.
You have to make up your mind. Either what is expressed in the Bible is true or it isn't. All of this is about our trust. What does God desire? We say God desires that we love him. That's true. But what is the expression? How would he know that we love him? Well, Jesus told us, if you love me, keep my commandments. In other words, do what I say. Therefore, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And that will reveal your trust. People will say, well, doesn't the Bible say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you should be saved? Yes, it does. But what does the word believe mean? The Bible was written in a Hebraic world. Belief is not a matter of giving intellectual consent, like saying, yeah, I believe in God, or yes, I believe in Jesus, or yes, I believe that Jesus died. Even the devil believes those things and trembles. No. Believe means accept those facts, but then conform your life to it. And if you don't conform your life to it, you don't really believe. And that's what God is calling us to.
And this is going to be a severe test, choosing the mark of the beast so you can buy food, keep your job. It might give you temporal peace, but you'd lose your eternal peace and salvation. And you'd be tormented in the fire forever. This is serious.
Well, it is. And that's why we finished the book with a very significant, okay, so what do you want me to do? What do I need to do? What God expects of us? This is the moment of truth. We're in the valley of decision right now.
We're at a precipice. We're going to see so much occur this year.
Right. Here's the deal. Has there been massive fraud? Absolutely. It's massive. But here's the problem that we as Christians have. Is our ultimate trust in Trump or in God? To shift our trust from God to what we think is godly government, Christ. Christ isn't going to ride into Washington on the back of elephants or donkeys.
Some people might wonder if we're really living in the end times. You mentioned in your book this third great temple in Jerusalem. The cornerstone has been laid to rebuild the temple on the Temple Mount. This looks like things are coming together in the end times.
Oh, they are coming together, no question about it. And that's why what we're seeing is a resurrection of the various global empires of the past. Turkey, which was once known as the Ottoman Empire that ruled the world for 500 years, including Jerusalem. Mr. Erdogan, that's his whole modus operandi, is to set things up for a resurrected Muslim caliphate to be ruled by Turkey. That's exactly what Iran is looking for. That's why they want the nuclear power, to intimidate the world. But in addition to these other global empires, there is the resurrecting Roman Empire. That's the Western world. Every single one of these wants to rule from the Temple Mount. Some of them already declared, including the Vatican, that the Pope will rule and reign from the Temple Mount. How much clearer can it get?
This Antichrist comes on the scene because he brings peace from chaos, right? So is there chaos? Is this what the chaos is produced
exactly.
Right now to lead
That's
up?
That's exactly what's happening intentionally.
Okay.
And out of that chaos, the people will scream for peace. Somebody come in and take control of this.
You have to have globalism for the Antichrist to come. And I'm thinking about this Paul Henri Spaak, the former Belgian prime minister, who was one of the founding fathers of the European Union. He said, "We don't want another committee. We have too many already. What we want is a man of sufficient stature to hold the allegiance of all people and to lift us out of the economic morass which we're all sinking to. To send us such a man, be he God or devil, we would receive him."
Isn't that amazing? Shocking statement. Give us somebody, be he God or the devil. Doesn't matter, we're desperate. That will be the world's ultimate so-called peace empire.
Okay, so then he's going to come in, the Antichrist is going to come in, and everybody's going to think he's wonderful, he's charismatic, he actually does miracles, he also was wounded and had his mortal wound healed, and so people are just going to be drawn to him. So miracles and signs and wonders, and people will be flabbergasted and drawn to him.
That's true, and that's why if your mind and your heart as a follower of Christ is not deeply rooted in trust, obedience, faith, and belief, you will fall. The majority of professing Christians are going to fall away. Paul said so. He said before the identity of the Antichrist is fully revealed, he said this in his letter to Thessalonians, before that happens, there's going to be a great apostasy or falling away. And you can't fall away from a place you've never been. Prosperity turns men's hearts away from the Lord and from true faith. Adversity is what brings us back. The Bible says so. We're coming into times of increasing adversity and a seeming peace, but all of that will lose its gloss when this counterfeit Christ walks into the temple one day, the rebuilt temple, and declares himself God. All hell. If you think things are bad now, all hell will break loose.
So is that when the wrath is coming?
That's right. God has told us. You see, it's his mercy and his grace that has informed us of what is coming so that we can be prepared. That's what a loving father would do, isn't it? He wouldn't let his children go out there into the midst of horrific danger and not prepare them. God is love. That's why he is doing this, because he wants people to prepare. He desires that none should perish and that all should come to repentance. But guess what? The Bible says the judgment's going to begin first at the house of God. This is the moment that all history's waited for. This is the time that we need to be prepared. We don't want to be like the five foolish virgins in the parable that Jesus told that were not ready when the bridegroom came. People get ready. Jesus is coming. Soon we'll be coming home.
And would you like to end with prayer?
Sure. Lord, we thank you that you give us the privilege of being able to share your truth and prepare your people. We ask, Lord, that those who are hearing today will be stirred, that they will not walk in fear, but will walk in faith, that they will fear you, but not fear the wicked one. If we truly fear you, we will hate evil, and we will come into alignment with your word. So cause the fear of the Lord to rise up in our minds and our hearts. And at the same time, Lord, help us to understand what it means to truly love you, expressed in a genuine faith and expressed in genuine biblical belief. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Our guest has been Charles Crismier, author of Antichrist, How to Identify the Coming Imposter. He said there is coming a great deceiver, an impersonator of Christ, who speaks so persuasively. He will deceive even Christians.
Only a small remnant who are God's elect will keep their faith. Jesus said in Matthew 24:12, because of the increase in wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved.
And Jesus said in Matthew 24:24, false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible, close quote. God can keep those who are his elect, as Jude 24 says, to him who is able to keep you from falling and present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forever. Amen.
If you would like a CD copy of today's program, please ask for number 1823, The Great Deceiver, Part 2. That's number 1823, The Great Deceiver, Part 2. The CD also includes last week's program, Part 1. You can order a CD copy of this program from our website. Our website is issuesineducation.org. That's issuesineducation.org. And give us a call at 928-776-0000. That's 928-776-0000. From Revelation 12, verse 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. For Issues in Education, this has been Bob and Jerry Boyd.